Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be David Hulley. This episode will be previewing the match for Fulham against Brentford at Griffin Park. Looking forward to speaking to David about this. David and I were talking off air, so while I wait for him to join us, I'm just going to share with us. When we were 10 matches to go, I basically said to David Fulham would win 5 out of their last 10. Well, right now I'm 3-for-8. We have 2 more to go. Fulham have to win the next 2 for me to be right, or I have to say David Hulley right again. And I'm talking about Mr. Hulley. He's with me right now. Mr. Hulley, how you doing?
Yeah, well, it's a sad day that obviously I need Fulham not to win one of these last 2 games, I guess. But, you know, again, it's like predicting a loss. In a way, I can't lose either way, because if we lose, I'm right. And if we win, we win. So it's good to know that we win, obviously. So,
okay,
yeah,
but let me ask you the big question. Seriously, I want you to be serious here. Is it more important to you that Fulham win or you win?
I have to be unselfish. Of course it's more important that Fulham win, obviously. You know, I mean, I would be happily wrong every week if it meant I predicted a loss and we won. Of course I would be, you know.
I know that, David.
Much better than predicting a win and then, you know, and being wrong that you lose. But, yeah, of course, Fulham to win.
Of course. I know that, David. I was just kidding you. Okay. Let's get going in the show. We have some very interesting topics to go through. You're actually going to bring one to the table as well. Let's start with some Fulham news. This was tweeted out yesterday and actually made me a little sad, maybe a little bit worried about my prediction, David. Fulham tweeted out that Michael Maddow is unlikely to be available for the final 2 matches for Fulham. Ouch. How much of a loss do you think he is for Fulham?
Well, this is the thing. When I saw that, my eyes lit up and I thought, Russ is not going to get his 5 out of 10 now, because for me, he has really been key. That I think he's been there literally in all the revival games, and when he hasn't played, I think it's been difficult, because he certainly brings organisation to the defence. That's I think his main thing. He's obviously a good player, he seems to be a good player from what we've seen so far. He reads the game pretty well. He's a good defender. He's a bit like the Aaron Hughes kind of role, I think. That sort of player, someone who's not, you know, massively tall, but he reads the game and he's quick. He stays on his feet, doesn't dive in, doesn't commit himself stupidly, and wins his fair share in the air as well, despite not being massively tall. But, you know, he's like a linchpin there. You know, he goes about his job quietly. He's well organised in the main. It's just everyone else around him is a shambles, I think, most of the time. And he's the only thing been holding it together. So, yeah, for me, that is, you know, the worst news of the lot, really, if we want to be getting a result tomorrow.
It hurts. There's no question about it. It hurts. The first thought that went into my mind, David, you already said it's I guess you could say composure, confidence, organization. He has that all, and he's got a good footballing mind. It's pretty obvious, because he's not the tallest player, but he certainly knows what he's doing back there. He makes sure that they're organized back there, and they will miss him. It's going to make my job of winning the next 2 much harder. So we'll see how much of a loss it is. Brentford, it'll be interesting against them. I'm not as worried against Bolton as I am against Brentford, because this is a team that actually will take a lot of shots, and we're going to need organization. And without him back there, it hurts. There's no two ways going about it, David. I do want to mention you before we move on from Michael Maddow, because I mentioned to you off-air. Now, the flip side of this, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. According to Sky Sports, Brentford's captain, Jake Bidwell, is a serious doubt for this match, and Lasse Vibe, their striker from Denmark, is 50-50 for this match. Now, Bidwell is their captain. I'm going to ask you, how much of a loss do you think he would be, and do you view it as the same way as losing Maddow?
Not necessarily, because, you know, Maddow has really been a different player for us compared to the rest of the defence. He's the one defender that has actually, you know, made a difference, I think, whereas everyone else has come in and out and hasn't. I don't really know too much about the Brentford players. Obviously, you know, they have lost, for me, their star player already, you know, Judge.
Yes, big loss.
He's now out. He's going to miss the European Championships as well in the summer, which is obviously a shame for any footballer. But for me, he was probably their star performer, I think. So he's already gone. So, you know, we do have a chance, of course. But once again, you know, heed these things with caution when people are, you know, supposedly doubtful or whatever, because sometimes they pop up and bite you in the backside.
Of course they do, David. There's no question about it. That's why I'm laughing, because we do this every week, and I see this player is a doubt, this player is a doubt, and then they end up playing. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. I have a feeling that Michael Maddle is not going to feature. The club were pretty open about that, so I feel more confident that he's not going to feature, which is truly unfortunate. All right, my friend, I am reintroducing the Cottage Talk Controversy Roundtable. There's a reason for it, because we have some interesting topics. Like I mentioned, you are also going to be bringing a topic to the table. You said you had a surprise feature. I'm looking forward to that. But let's start here, David. I am going to read the message from the chairman that was on the phone website. I want to get your thoughts on it so we can talk about it. Again, this is right from the phone website. This is from Shad Khan. Under Slavisa Jokanovic, we will enter the 2016-2017 campaign with great anticipation and confidence, as high as it's been in years. Slavisa will be given the green light to build a team capable of promotion, and that's important because it appears that the Sky Bet Championship will be as difficult as ever. The complete support and passion of our loyal fans will be crucial as we begin our first full season under Slavisa's direction and take aim at promotion, and that's why season ticket prices will not increase next season. We want and need you with us. Further, we plan more promotions and opportunities to reward the faith of our supporters, who always help to make Craven Cottage one of the premier destinations in all of football. I personally thank all of our supporters, in particular our season ticket holders, who never waver and can always be counted on to stand behind the Whites, both at matches and every day of the year. Thank you, and come on, you Whites, Shad Khan. David, let's just talk about that statement from Shad Khan. What are your thoughts on it?
You're probably asking the wrong person if you want to get a nice positive result, because, you know, I'm Mr. Cynic, I'm afraid.
I know you
and,
are.
You know, you can't sort of like mention this without mentioning the other thing. This statement was released at the same day as the season ticket prices and renewals were announced.
Right.
Obviously, it's not a coincidence, is it? Some things are a coincidence, but that's not a coincidence.
It's a careful
marketing strategy. Come on, let's try and give the supporters a bit of flannel and soft soap and tell them how much we love them and how much we want them to come back. Please sign up for another year, basically. And I put a survey out on Twitter, and we had over 200 responses when I last looked. In the main, yeah, out of the people who are already season ticket holders, the majority said they're going to carry on. A few people said they would actually kind of get a new season ticket holder, a new season ticket, or increase their existing holding. And in about the same number basically said they would be reducing or cancelling their season ticket holders. And then the rest said they'll be staying as they are non-season ticket holders. So there was no obvious shift in numbers. But I think, you know, in terms of season tickets, we will be lucky if we get as many next season as we have this season. I do think there may be a few will drift away. But, you know, it's all very well Shahid Khan saying these things, but we've heard it before. We need to see results, obviously, Russ. You know, you can say all these things, and it's great that, you know, he's backing Slavisa, and he's backing the club still, of course. But, you know, we want to see results, and, you know, some of the way it was worded, and it might just be how I read into it, but other people, I noticed our friend Chris Gilbertson mentioned the same. It was almost worded in a way like they were doing as a favour. You know, you won't have to pay any more for your season ticket next year as a loyal season ticket holder. And it's like, you know, we're doing you a favour here because the football hasn't been so great. We won't put the prices up. Well, gee, thanks, you know. I mean, the other favour they did us was a non-existent food and drink last Saturday for many people, if you remember. There was,
yes,
we didn't talk about it on the show, but, you know, it was a shambles. You know, the one I went to, you could have anything as long as it was a a very tasteless Frankfurter in a roll, which incidentally you would pay nearly £5 for if you were buying it. So I think very poor value. There were no pies, there were no burgers at that point. Other people, Mike Gregg had similar, you know, experiences where he was, and other people as well. I'm sure you saw a lot of people complained about it. And, you know, they try and do something for the season ticket holders, and it's a complete balls up. You know, you've got 10,000 season ticket holders approximately. You would think the majority of them are going to say, yeah, we'll take advantage of that. So therefore, they need to have food and staff who can, you know, can produce enough food and everything for demand. And it was just so poorly organised. And if they can't get something like that right, you know, you wonder, how do they get anything right sometimes? And so, you know, there's a lot to be done still to convince me and others that the club is moving in the right direction. Only today I've seen not lots of tweets, but certain people tweeting that, you know, it's all very well Khan saying this and you know, back in Slavisa, but Mike Rigg's in the way, and people are very critical about Mike Rigg and saying that whilst he's here, we'll fail to attract the right people. And this is only opinion and hearsay, but they're all kind of parts of the jigsaw. So, you know, it's, you know, talk is cheap, but you know that, Russ. Obviously, it's cheap.
Go ahead.
You know, it's great he said these things, but we want actions, not words, basically.
David, I was just about to say this. When you come over to America the next time, you're going to have to go to Missouri. You know what Missouri's known for? You know what they are? That's the show-me state. It's the show-me state.
Oh,
you want to be shown. Yes, it's the show-me state. They basically, it's about actions. Show me. So you want to be shown. You want results. So I understand where you're going on that. The way that I look at it, one, you know, I think there is no coincidence. You are 100% correct that this came out when season tickets, you know, again, that was being renewed. You know, the situation is now going on. So there is no, you know, there's no coincidence there. I agree with you 100%. Again, I'm here, I'm reading it, and I focused on the intent of greenlighting a team that could get to promotion, right? You know, build a team that could get to promotion. And I took that as, okay, those are the right things to say. But, David, you are right to say that actions speak louder than words. But I want to take this into a different direction. You know how I mentioned that this is now the controversy roundtable, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Here we go, David.
Okay.
Do you believe Shah Khan has the right intentions for Fulham Football Club?
Dear me, that is terrible. Well, I have to believe that, yes. I have to believe his intentions are right. Whether he's actually capable of doing it is another matter. But, yes, I do believe his intentions are right, because I cannot see any reason why someone would, you know, however rich they are, would blow £250 million of their fortune on a joke, on a, you know, something ill-intentioned or something else. He has to have the right idea. I mean, and at the end of the day, Jacksonville Jaguars, I know they've not been very successful at times, and I don't know that much about American football anyway, but, you know, I think he's stuck through them and he's trying to turn things the right way there. So you have to believe that he's going to do the same for Fulham.
And that's kind of my approach, David, and I'm glad that you brought up the Jaguars. You don't know that much about them, but they are starting to turn around. He's investing a ton of money in Jacksonville on a new practice facility. He's redoing that whole area where the stadium is, and they're going to have this whole area for the Jaguars. So he's investing a great deal of money in the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've signed some really good players. They're heading in the right direction, but it's taken a long time. And I have to believe, just like you, that's why I wanted to ask you the question, that his heart's in the right place. He just, you know, again, it's about hiring the right people, and hopefully he has, because I do believe that his intentions are for Fulham to get back to the Premier League and thrive. Now it's about showing me. It goes back to that, David. Now we need to see the results. We need to see them pushing in the right direction. We have not seen it at this point. We are now looking at two bad seasons in the Championship. One bad. This is all under Khan. One bad season that got us relegated from the Premier League. So it's time to turn it around. This is the summer to do it. So basically, you know, I think his intentions are good, but it's time to show me, like you said. That's why I'm glad that we're talking about this, David. So I guess this isn't too controversial, because I think we're kind of agreeing. all right, all best plans go bad. So I was thinking we were gonna debate that, David, but we're actually in agreement. You and I talk about that all the time. Every time I think that we're gonna disagree, we actually agree. All right, let's move on.
Is that a Goldman then?
I guess you could say that's a Goldman, because I really thought that we were gonna disagree here, but we agree because
okay,
you know. So yes, the first Goldman of the show goes to me. You even get Goldmans, David. You know that. You get Goldmans,
yeah,
too.
That's
but
what I like about it. That's what I like, Russ. When I screw up, it's still a Goldman. It's never my fault, yeah. It's brilliant.
No, it's always my fault. It's always my fault. All right, David. Let's move on. Let's talk about the Riverside Stand Project. And before we do that, I want to mention that we are going to be doing a show about Mike Rick. We are going to be doing a show about Shah Khan. We're also going to be doing a show, David, about the Riverside Stand Project. We are. We're going to be doing a full show about it. I want to get into that in more detail. But I want to talk to you about the recent announcement just to get your take on it. We will be doing a show that's all about the Riverside Stand, where we feel it's going. But let's just talk about this one situation, and then we'll dive further into a full show. And again, this is on the Fulham website this week. Heather Wick Studio appointed. I'm just going to read portions from the article that's on the Fulham website. Fulham Football Club is delighted to announce that as works progress at Craven Cottage for the redevelopment of its Riverside Stand, Chairman Shah Khan has personally commissioned Heatherwick Studio, led by celebrated designer Thomas Heatherwick, to contribute its significant expertise to the proposed scheme, thus enabling Mr. Khan to fulfill his aspiration of creating an iconic landmark on the banks of the River Thames. The club has been executing pre-commencement conditions for some considerable time to enable work to begin on the riverside, where planning permission has already been achieved for a new stand. The plans increase the capacity of Craven Cottage, which is vital for the future of the club as it strives to fulfill the aspiration of return to the Premier League. Further, the opening up the Riverwalk for the first time, along with the club's commitment to investment in Bishop's Park, will considerably enhance the locality every day of the year. Now I'm just going further down in the article. This is a quote from Shah Khan. Quote, "The Riverside Stand project required patience and diligence, and ultimately a designer who understands the history of London, the Thames, and of course Fulham. Thomas Heatherwick is that designer. I've had many meetings with Thomas in the past half year, and while his work speaks for itself, to hear him articulate his vision is something else. Thomas will bring to life what the project, the neighborhood, and the Fulham community deserves." That's a quote from Shah Khan. "The final time scale will be determined following the progression of the design, and in the interim, Fulham will continue to move forward with the fulfillment of the pre-commencement provisions as planned." And the time scale is a little bit of the controversy, David. What are your thoughts on this announcement?
Well, the first thing again is, and you know, I told you in the week what I thought. I thought delaying tactics. You know, I didn't think, oh, this is fantastic, you know, because all we ever hear with the stand are announcements about, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, that's the final piece of the jigsaw that we need. And now, you know, he's come in and he said, I want to have a look at this. And that's fine. This is, you know, it's not Fayed's money now. He's not going to build Fayed's stand. He's building his stand with his money.
That's right.
Have a look at it. That's fine. But he's been here for, what, nearly 2 years now. And he's now just thought to have a look at this stand and see, right, can we tweak it? Can we amend it? Can we do anything differently? All of these things, to me, they smack of delay. It's a delay. It's going to cause a delay. Because as far as I was concerned, at the end of this season, they were ready to go. Everything was in place. They had all the necessary consents and stuff from the council, from the Port of London, who owned the river, etc., etc. We could start building in the summer, and it would be finished by the start of the following season, I believe, that's roughly. But now he's brought new people in, and I can only think this is going to cause a delay. I don't think they're going to redesign the whole stand from scratch, but it talks and hints about, you know, modifications perhaps, even if it's only kind of cosmetic stuff. To me, it's just going to cause a delay, and it's, for me, that's, you know, that's a worry, because if we are planning to go for Premier League football, We need this stand ready at the earliest moment. We could be playing Premiership football in a year and a bit from now, potentially. However unlikely it is, you know, the shambles we've been, the toughness of the league next season, it's still a possibility. If I said to you this time last year, you know, Leicester could be champions next year, you'd have said, I need the men in the white coats, wouldn't you? So,
yes.
You know, it's more likely than that, really. It's more likely than Leicester being crowned champions. And they're only,
sure,
you know, they're very,
yeah,
very close to that.
Yeah.
So the chances of us being in the Premier League in the same time frame, in, you know, in a season, at the end of the year, and sort of the end of next season, if you know what I mean, is bigger than that. And that is the earliest that the stand would be finished by for that season. So if we were to get to the Premier League and we didn't have the additional capacity, you know, in the short term, we would suffer. So anything to delay the stand now, I think, you know, is negative, because otherwise they'll just find more and more excuses not to build it. Had we been relegated, would they still carried on with it? I doubt it, because it would be a long time before they would need 30,000 capacity. And there's lots of people out there who are worried about the intentions of Khan, whether he is as sincere as he says, whether there's a hidden agenda, all sorts of conspiracy theories. People who make me look completely uncynical are out there, you know. There are some real cynics out there who worry for the future of the ground. And until they've stuck the first spade in the ground and turned the first sod of earth over, metaphorically, there's going to be people who doubt his integrity and doubt integrity and intention. And therefore, you know, I think for everyone's peace of mind, the sooner they build the stand, the better, both for, you know, for the fans' point of view and for the long-term future of the club, because that guarantees football at Craven Cottage for, you know, the foreseeable future and, you know, forever, potentially. But whilst Craven Cottage is undeveloped, there is always that potential that they could move. But once they've spent zillions on a stand there, they're not going to be moving, are they? You know, let's face it. So this sort of is our long-term future, and that's what we want to see. And for me, it doesn't say it in the literature, but it doesn't say that there won't be a delay either. So for me, it's a delay, and that's a bit of a worry.
But David, you don't know if it's a delay. Only time will tell if it's a delay. And I'll come right back to you because, again, I look at it differently than you. This is where we're going to disagree. This is his project now. It's not Fayette's project. He's now putting his spin on it. He's now got his designer, okay? I agree with you with the point that why didn't he do this a year earlier? I totally agree with that. But I'm going to ask you, why would you hire someone if you had no desire to actually build it? He's obviously going to build it. And I say if you're going to build it, you're going to do it right. I hope that there are no delays. But I would rather him do it with someone that is as qualified as this person is to build this stand, to have the design. If he wants the design to be extra special, why not? It's, you know, again, I want it done right. And if this designer can help with that process, so be it. It does not indicate to me that this is not happening. I believe it's going to happen. I just think it's a matter of time. I agree with you, David. I hope that there are no delays. There could be delays. We don't know that. But for me, the hire shows to me the intent, and I know you're going to disagree with me. You don't hire a designer if you're not intending to build something, okay? So for me, it is going forward. That's where I'm coming from. I could be wrong. I don't think I am on this. I think his intent is to build the stand and keep Fulham at Craven Cottage. He said this time and time again. I even asked him. He intends to keep it at Craven Cottage, and I understand where you guys are coming from. Mike has said until the construction really begins, people are going to doubt it. And the quicker they get it going, I agree with you, the better, because then everyone's going to be on board. But for me, I have no problem with him picking his own designer. I have no problem with that. I really don't. I read it differently than some people did. I actually saw it as a sign of intent. I saw it as another sign of intent, because you don't hire someone unless you intend to build something. That's the way I was looking at it. But that's where you and I, again, disagree on this subject. So I'm going to ask you the ultimate question, David. In your heart of hearts, do you think the Riverside Stand project will be built?
Well, the other thing I was going to add to this is that I'm not sure exactly what this company's role is in this. I mean, is there a possibility that they look at it and say, well, this is going to cost you X million. Actually, it's not really worth it. Are they going to, you know, turn around and say, you know, carry out a whole feasibility study of it and say, well, look, you know, for the extra 5,000 seats you gain at a cost of however many million, it's going to take you 15 millennia to pay the money back, so it's not really worth it anyway. You know, is that a possibility as well? Because I really don't know if that's, or if it's
really about...
Yeah,
we don't know, David. We don't know.
So, until they actually go ahead, until I see them start their building work, I must admit, I have my doubts. I really have my doubts. And because it, you know, what I've said is true, for 5,000 extra seats, it's going to cost a lot. Take a long time to pay that back, isn't it? I know there's obviously other things involved. There's the corporate side of things, which brings in a lot.
And that's
more
going
money,
to be huge,
guess,
David.
So.
David,
yeah,
that's going
course.
To be a huge part of this.
But it's all reliant on getting back to the Premier League, of course.
Right, right.
But in pure terms of 5,000 extra seats, let's say each seat on an average is £50. I don't know if that's sort of a reasonable amount. I'm going to have to work it out now, aren't I, now I've started this. 5,000 seats at £50 is is a quarter of £1 million, is that right? Was it, or £2.5 million, I don't know. Oh shit! What? I've dug myself a hole here. It's a gold. This is a Goldman. This is a big one. This is here.
It's a David Holly Goldman. I love it.
Don't never try and do maths without a calculator. But you see where I'm going. Yeah, well, 5,000 times.
I see where you're going.
Yeah, 5,000 times 1,000 would be 5 million. So £50 would be. Yeah, I was right. It's a quarter of a million, isn't it? A quarter of a million a game. Yeah. It would be. So over a season, not less than a million a season, isn't it? I think. No, less than 10 million a season. And how much are we talking about the cost of the stand? I don't know. It's going to take a long time to pay it off anyway. But maybe not as long as I thought it was. But, you know, oh, shit.
Oh,
can we rewind and start? Can we rewind and start this bit again, actually? David Hulley's never right. You know, I'm maths is my best subject as well. This is the trouble for some thing. I'm really good at maths as well, but
David,
I shouldn't
David,
have had that
David, I'm going to save you right now. I'm going to save you because I'm going to transition a little bit. What I was going to mention before we move on from this subject is that I respect you and the other fans that are doubting that it's going to happen. I'm going to explain why. I live here in the Boston area. We've had stadium issues being built for years. Again, the Revs are still waiting for a stadium to be built. I'm talking about the fans, and it still hasn't been built. They've been promised. So I agree with why you are feeling the way that you're feeling. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say I agree with you. I understand it. I disagree because I think it's going to be built, but I understand why you're so worried about it because I deal with that here with our stadiums here. The same thing happened until construction actually happened, people were doubting it. So I get it. I just, you know, again, I'm looking at it as my glass half full person that I am and feel that it will get done. I just look at hiring someone. I don't think you hire someone unless the intent is to build. So I think that I truly believe it's going to happen. But like you said, David, only time will tell. Hopefully there are no delays. Do you want to add anything on before we move on?
Yeah, I have a calculator on my phone, so yeah. What I'm trying to say is about on my crude thing, it was about a quarter of a million a game, about 5 million a season, roughly in gate receipts. So it would take a few seasons to pay it off, but maybe not.
Sure.
Maybe not forever. But my just concern is that the whole feasibility of it may be looked into. You know, at the end of the day, Khan isn't just, you know, you don't get to be rich by throwing your money around. You know, you still have to be careful. And
sure.
Anybody who might come in and say, hold on a minute, perhaps we should do this differently, or maybe we should scale this down or scrap it. There's all, until they start going with this thing, there's always a possibility this could happen. And let me give you a bit of history, which is probably more accurate than my maths. The Riverside stand, as it stands now, that was an albatross around Fulham's neck for a long, long time. I'm sure Mike will back me up on this one. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you know from old pictures, that Fulham used to have a continuous terracing from the Putney end to the Hammersmith end, and it used to follow around the river. It used to curve round in a bit of a bowl almost. And the Riverside Stand was opened just literally when I first started going to Fulham, sort of 1972, it had just been opened. And for a long, long time, that was a millstone around Fulham's neck, paying that back. and we weren't massively successful in that period. We came down from the Premier League as it is, or first division as it was called then, to the second division, to the third, and then back to the second. Moderate crowds, less than we get now throughout, you know, most of the 70s really. And it was a real cripple for Fulham having that stand. So it's possible that anything could come out of this, really, I think. It would seem absolutely futile, all this effort they've put into things, you know, all the planning stages, all the permissions, applications.
That's what I'm talking about, Dave. Right.
To scrap it, it would be ridiculous. But until they start building it, I guess it's a possibility if they're making changes or amendments or rethinking anything at all. That is just one option out of all of the rethinking. One option would be to say, well, let's scrap it. And let's hope that's not the case. But I want to see this thing built sooner than later, because it will satisfy my, you know, my doubts, but also it will be there to give us the best chance of you know, using it and getting back to Premier League. It'll be a kind of a double incentive, won't it? To have the stand ready will be an incentive to get us back to the Premier League.
No, I hear you, David. And listen, I understand your cynicism here. I totally do. I respect it. I just think that you just brought up all the reasons why I cannot imagine that it would be scrapped. They put in all this time and effort. Why would you scrap it now? I don't see it. But I understand why people are fearful, and we'll have to see this thing through. And like I mentioned, David, we're going to do a full show about this because I want to talk about it in more depth. I know we talked about it for 10 minutes. We're going to go further into it because I definitely understand why fans are fearful, and we need to continually talk about these things. And it's fair by you to say until you see construction, you're going to be doubting it. I see where you're coming on that. I'm just being hopeful that it will be built because it's very important, I think, for the future of Fulham Football Club. All right, David. Before we go on any further, it's time for your surprise feature.
Yeah, well, it's just a little thing. Obviously, I forgot to mention this last time, actually. But obviously, our friend Anthea has been visiting the UK from New Zealand as she came to the Forest match. And Anthea was previously, she used to feed me Brian Clough clips because, you know, obviously, we had a spell of Brian Clough quotes and stuff.
Yep.
And Anthea's been driving that. But now she has a new one because she knows how much you enjoy sort of funny pronunciations and stuff things. And she brought me a book from New Zealand about New Zealand pronunciations. Or I think it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, actually, Russ. But this might appeal to also to our friends in Australia like James as well and Eden. So I was going to read you a couple of New Zealand sort of things and see if you could work out what they were, yeah? Maybe if we don't get pulled off the air or taken out, maybe it could become a regular thing. I'll open this book every now and then and see if I can catch you out. So I'm going to open the book at random, yeah?
Okay,
so
go ahead.
So the first one is, you've just got to tell me who or what this is, yeah? This is from New Zealand, yeah? So this is Tix Mix. So Tix, as in TikTok or Tic Tacs, Tix Mix. What is Tix Mix?
Breath mints?
No, Tix Mix is what if you were in New Zealand, if you wanted food from the South Texas or North Mexico area, Tix Mix. So that's how we pronounce Tex Mex. Okay, here's another one for you then. Who or what is this then? Ready?
Okay.
Tilly Savalas. Tilly Savalas.
Tilly Savalas.
Very good. You've got it. Well done. Yes. Bald actor who was the star of Kojak, Tilly Savalas. Very, very good. Excellent. Okay, that's enough of that. Enough silliness
now. Enough of that, David. But it just made my day that I got one of these right. Tilly Savalas. Okay, very good.
I'll keep this book by my side, and we may open it again on a future show. But thanks for this lovely little present from Anthea. She knows how much I enjoy silly voices, impressions, and words.
We got to do this again, David. I enjoyed that. We got to do that again.
It was nice. It was harmless fun, isn't it, Russ, you know?
Yeah. All right, David.
So if you're ever in New Zealand, and I'm sure you must be a fan of Tex-Mex food, because I certainly am.
I love stuff
like that.
I am.
So if you're ever in New Zealand, say, have you got any Tex-Mex? Anyway, let's move on.
All right, let's move on. To start our preview, I'm going to play the audio clip from Slavica. Have you seen this?
No, I saw the quotes on Twitter, but I didn't hear the audio, no.
Okay, so I'm going to play the audio. We'll talk about it quickly, and that'll start up preview of the match for tomorrow. Sound good?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, let's go. Here is Savita with Sarah Brooks.
Incredibly disappointed with the performance against Nottingham Forest. What are your expectations for the next two games?
I expect another obligation is be more motivated, more aggressive, more organized, and more solidarity in the field. We, especially last game at the home, we start so slowly. We don't be available for battle. At the end, we give them. We would give them two presents. They scored two goals, and second half was we start with some kind of the improvisation. It's not the generally way what I want my team play the football, but I believe it's necessary. Try find some different ways what we try find it in the first half. At the end, we don't deserve points in this game and in the future, and especially for the derby, what is front of us, we need to be aggressive and we need to be concentrated.
There have been glimmers of that, the way that you want to play since you joined, but there is that sort of lacking of the aggression. What can you do differently? What will you do differently over the summer months to change that and change that mentality within the squad?
Generally, this few months was the different sensation in our stadium. And in the beginning, we start to play very good football. We move the ball. We start press the team high. In my opinion, we play very good, but we don't find the result. And generally, we decide be a little bit more effective and confident a little bit less and be a little bit more compact. It's probably in this moment we will start to play a little bit worse, but we find the result. Now in this last few games where we generally safe, I try build one time more and start play a little bit more football what we play last games. In generally against Nottingham Forest we offer a very poor performance. We have to be solidarity, we have to be aggressive, we have to stick the plan and try be competitive, because it's not time for be relaxed, it's not time for holiday. We didn't made so important things this season for being the holiday right now. And we need respect championship. I'll be ready for a moment where we are under pressure, and we need be more solid what we are actually right now. In these two games, what is in front of us, generally we need to be motivated. It's derby, it's in front of us. Our supporters are full of supporters, always want to Fulham win the game, especially where we play some kind of the games like what is game against Bradford, what is London derby. And we need to be responsibility in this kind of the situation and be motivated and concentrated and put our 100% of our possibility.
The players themselves, obviously Fulham is safe, but the players have to find that motivation to play for you for their place next season.
Exactly. This is more than football. We are football team. Football is business too. And we have to fight for ourselves and for our family too. And it's two games and few training in front of us. I still don't take last decision. And players have to be motivated for show me a little bit more, because it's in front of us is summer, and in summer club gonna arrive in this summer with right ambition for change our targets and for be more competitive what team will be competitive in the past.
The Brentford result last season was particularly disappointing for the fans. It's important for them, therefore, to show that spirit and commitment on Saturday to make amends for last season's result.
It's always is important. All the games, all the training is important. It's generally we offer very poor performance last Saturday in Craven Cottage. Now it's our chance for a clean our imagine, and now it's chance for offer our supporters something different, because it's we have to be motivated. This is in the life, in the football. If you are not motivated, this is not right way. I am motivated. I'm gonna have an opportunity work in front of full stadium. Gonna arrive many Fulham supporters for support us and for respect. We can offer them something important, and this is enough motivation for us. If my player is not motivated with these few things, we are in the big trouble.
We wish you luck on Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done on Thursday with the head coach for Fulham Football Club, Sofisa Jokanović, with Director of Communications, Sarah Brooks. I want to thank James White, as always, for sending me the audio clips so we could share them on the show. Mr. Holly, what stands out to you from the interview with Sofisa this week?
I think it's I've read between the lines on that, and it's like my old favourite, the limp home mode has kind of been reached. And although he's kind of going through the motions, but basically the season's over, we're safe. He's now just going to kind of coast home and you know, start the work for next season. Despite saying, yes, we'd like to win and we want to stop the mistakes, I think he knows that he needs the summer to sort that out.
Right.
I don't know, I was just reading between the lines of that, really. That's the impression I get. I must admit, you know, no disrespect to Slavisa, I don't find him the easiest person to listen to. He doesn't have that kind of attractive voice, you know, engaging voice, really. He's kind of quite gruff, isn't he, and everything, and his accent. And he looks quite tough and fearsome when you see him as well. I couldn't imagine him being, you know, sort of people eating out of the palms of his hand. I think more people would be sort of scared off by him a little bit. I just find it a little bit grating sometimes, and some of the stuff, obviously, we've heard it all before about what we need to do, and you know, the players have been saying it as well all week, that you know, we have to put last week behind us and you know, start again next week, etc. And you hear it every week, don't you, sometimes, unfortunately. We've heard it too many times this season. So for me, it's, you know, it's get the season over and done with as quick as possible, and let's start the clear out and the preparation for next year. I think that's the real message I got from that. I don't know what you got, Russ, but that's what I got.
I got something similar, David, but I was thinking about while he was talking that I would love at some point if you could learn to do a Sofisa impression.
Listen, I'm not sure. After my Brian Cloughs and stuff, I think it drives me mad thinking about it now. I'll think about it. Maybe if Anthea encourages me, you know, and stuff, I get enough encouragement on Twitter from people, I might think about it. I remember my Arsene Wenger 1 week as well. But Slavisa, it's a tough one to do, very tough. But I'll think about it anyway. I mean, we've had Emilio's, Emilio's, whoever he did, wasn't it? Was it Mick McCarthy or no? He did Big Sam, didn't it? And
Giannis is Mick McCarthy. And Emilio can do Big Sam, but I would love to see if you could do Slavisa. I know that difficult.
Listen, I've done Brian Clough and Arsene Wenger. I think it should probably be Mike's turn or your turn then, actually, I think, you know. It's about
maybe we can get Mike to do it.
Yeah, I think it's about Mike's time to make a fool of himself as well. I've done it too many times already.
Okay, my friend. Let's not get into this preview. Let's start with the basics. Brentford are 10th. They have 17 victories, 8 draws, 19 losses. They've scored 64. They've given up 66. They're on a -2 goal differential, and they're on 59 points. What's interesting is Fulham have 11 victories, 15 draws, 18 losses. We have less losses than Brentford, which is interesting. We've scored 65. We've given up 76. We're on a -11 goal differential, and on 48 points. Again, this is all from WhoScored.com. Their strengths: very strong at shooting from direct kicks, counterattacks, creating chances through individual skill. They're strong at coming back from losing positions, finishing scoring chances, and creating chances using through balls. Weaknesses, they're weak at aerial duels, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, defending against attacks down the wings, defending against through ball attacks. They're very weak, avoiding individual errors, defending counterattacks, stopping opponents from creating chances. And honestly, I've seen a lot of that in the video of their weaknesses, but I've also seen the strengths as well. Style play, possession football, definitely. They play with width, David. They attack down the right, short passes. Opponents play aggressively against them. They play the offside trap, and they usually have a consistent first 11, but like we mentioned, there are some doubts for this match. And before I go to you, I'm just going to give you my stats breakdown that I do with WhoScored.com. Let's start with possession. Fulham are fifth in the league at 52.4%, but David, Brentford are second at 53.8%. Shots per game, Fulham are 12th at 12.5. Brentford take a good amount of shots. They're seventh in the league at 13.2. Passing success, this is an area that Fulham have thrived in the majority of the season, but they're currently 8th at 75.3. Brentford are 6th at 75.8. Aerials won, Fulham are 12th at 21.1. And Brentford are 23rd. They are weak at aerials at 17.4. Crosses per game, Fulham are 22nd with 18. And Brentford are 15th with 20. Long balls, teams are pretty even here. Fulham are 14th with 83. And Brentford are 16th with 82. Short passes, Fulham are 5th in the league with 381. And Brentford are 3rd at 388. Before I go to you, David, when I was going through the stats are very close between the two teams. That's what I found interesting. What do you make of all the information that I shared, and definitely want your thoughts on the stats too?
Well, I'm not surprised that the stats are obviously fairly similar because, you know, it wasn't that long ago. We were actually quite close in the table, and Brentford was still in outside chance of being relegated as well, really, as they were on a sinking curve as well, I think, for a while. So, you know, it's not a surprise to me. And as I say, they lost a couple of players as well. And they'll be glad that the season is over. They can sort of regroup. But it's just the fact that in most of the categories, they just seem to be that one notch better than us, I'd say, really. I don't know
right.
if you would agree with that. But
no, I do agree.
As a general rule of thumb, I'm not going to go through every one by one. But as a general rule of thumb, and again, that's kind of consistent with the sort of positioning in the league table as well. Obviously, they don't have the inferior goal difference that we have. Or you know, you said they were minus one, I think, didn't you?
Minus two.
So yeah, they're a little bit better goal difference. Obviously, they've scored less goals, I suppose, but they've conceded a lot less as well. So yeah, I mean, it's a fairly even match, a derby. In the old days, it used to mean a lot of derby. I'm not sure if it does anymore. People say it does, and they're going to play for, you know, they play for them. But how many of the players, you know, are from Fulham, really, or from the local area? Not very many. Maybe people like Bettinelli are fairly local and stuff, but a lot of the players, obviously, from all over the place. It doesn't quite have the same thing. In the old days, a derby really was a derby. It was a real leveller, you know, and you could get a completely different sort of match and result, you know, against your local rivals than you would, because it just, you know, there's this local passion. But I'm not sure if it does. I'm not sure how much that's going to change things tomorrow. But it all sort of, you know, looks that it could be a close match in the scheme of things. It just really depends on how important it is to Slavisa, whether he's going to try and win the match, whether he's going to experiment, and the players as well, and whether we make these stupid mistakes or not, you know, without the presence of Maddow to organise and hold the defence together. But for me, they are that little bit better than us on the stats, just mostly, as they are in the league table. Therefore, you have to say that they probably are at home. They have the advantage, really. They would be the favourites.
Sure. And I certainly understand that. But I think, you know, right now the teams are even. I do want to mention this, David, that you were talking about their key players. Judge. He's a leading goal scorer, 14. A doubt for this match, listed as 50-50. Lasse Vibe has 13 goals, so he scored a decent amount of goals for them as well. So just keep that in mind. All right, my friend, with everything that we've talked about, who are your key players for Fulham tomorrow?
Well, this is the real thing. Now, I could almost see him changing things tomorrow, because now we're safe. He doesn't have to play this set system that he's played the last few weeks.
You don't think he's going to do...
So, I'm trying to.
You don't think he's
going to
go 3-5-2, David? Do you?
So yeah, I'm thinking. Well, the fact we haven't got Maddle, and most of our defenders are rubbish. Is he going to put an extra defender in there to try and counteract that? Is he going to go to 3-5-2? Because it does suit, you know, some of the players we have better. Or is he going to just try and stick with the 4-4-2 that had worked, but obviously last week it was a bit of a disaster. So. I'm really wondering what he's going to do here, and I think, on the scheme of things, I don't know. The midfield didn't do their job last week as well as they should have done, but this is where you think a match like this would be won in the midfield, a midfield battle. So, for me, the most important players, if they play, will be people like Parker and whoever's alongside him. Is it going to be Ince again? I'm not sure, perhaps. So, Parker and Ince... to win that match, you know, and that's where you win these things, you know, the midfield battle. You win the tackles, you win the 50-50s, you get the crowd on your side. And so that would be, for me, I think, how, you know, how we win this match and where the key is. If we win the battle in the midfield, therefore our forwards will be getting the supply and we'll have the chance to shoot and score. If we lose in the battle in midfield, we're going to get peppered with shots and then we're at risk of losing it.
And that's a very good analysis, David, based on what I watched, and I've actually seen them play a few times as well. Brentford are going to take a good amount of shots. Somewhat of Nottingham Forest, they're going to take a good amount of shots. They generally play a 4-2-3-1, so that's why I think I understand that's why you were going with a midfield battle being the key here. But what I also noticed, David, and also what I shared from WhoScored.com backs this up, I think we're going to have opportunities on counterattacks. We're going to have opportunities to score. It's, you know, it's going to be basically who converts on their opportunities, I think. And can we stop them? Because they're going to have their opportunities too. They're going to come at us, but we're going to have our opportunities. Who can convert better, I think, is, you know, who's going to be more clinical? That's the way I'm looking at it. But I agree with you. I think if they can control the midfield, I'm talking about Parker and Ince, and I hope that it's Parker and Ince. I think that is really a key in this match. I'm glad that you went right there. All right, David, let's go right to it. You're starting 11.
Well, I'd say this is more maybe my starting 11 than Slav's, but the season is over, basically. We have nothing to lose. Give anything a go. So I think if we haven't got Maddle, maybe we should play the extra central defender and go back to the 3-5-2. So I'm sure I'll be wrong, but let's go for the 3-5-2 tomorrow. Obviously, keep Bettinelli in goal.
Okay.
That means we have, obviously, the wing-backs. And I think, much as he's been a bit of a disappointment, if you're going to play a wing-back, you probably want to play Garbutt there. But I could actually see him even trying Christensen then, because that's what he did last week.
I agree with that. Right.
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, maybe my idea isn't as mad as I'm thinking, because we actually did see it last week.
We did.
Second half. So, you know, maybe, yeah, maybe it could be an inspired logic. But so it's going to be Garbutt or maybe Christensen even there at left midfield or left wing back.
Okay.
It's just who are those three defenders going to be? So take
your
pick, really. I'm sure we'll see Amabieta in there, obviously.
Okay.
Now, will he bring in Stearman? Because he's been kind of one of his recent favourites in the main.
And Ream.
So will we see Stearman, Amabieta and... And then it will either be Byrne in the centre, would be the most likely choice. Byrne in the centre with Stearman and Amabieta either side. Though we could potentially see Amabieta in the middle and Ream as left centre-back, I don't know.
Okay.
So something along those lines. Parker in centre and midfield, Kearney in front of them, Dembele and McCormack up front. Not very, you know, radical really, mostly the same kind of players. But you could swap any one in there. You could have a Tynecliffe in the middle maybe instead of Ince. I don't know. You could have, you know, you know what I mean. You could arbitrarily change one or two of them around. But I think, you know, we did actually, you know, second half we saw that he went with that, albeit with Matt Smith up front. But
right.
For me, I don't want to see wing-backs playing and then long ball football. I want to see wing-backs playing, you know, and getting crosses in, using the pitch. So that's going to be my team anyway, and if I'm wrong, so be it. We'll see what he picks tomorrow.
Okay, let's go back to that, because I threw out Ream, but you brought up a good point to have a Morbieta out there and then have Byrne in the middle. That's where you're going with this, David. For you, would you rather see...
It could be. Yeah, either way, I think. I mean, you could have Amobietu in the middle and Ream as left centre-back. I wouldn't be against that either.
Okay, very good. All right, David, let's go to predictions, and we have a decent amount. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Twitter page, and we had 153 votes, a decent amount of votes, David. Win, this actually surprised me, 42% for win. Draw, 25%, and loss, 33%. And we also have a prediction from Mike Gregg. He's predicting 2-2. So Mike's already chimed in. He predicted 2-2. All right, let's now go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page, and it's loading, so just bear with me here. It's taking a second here, and then I will get you those predictions, David. As I'm stalling, as I'm trying to find them, David, here we go. All right, here are the predictions. Let's start with Charlie Bevan. He's predicting 3-0 to Brentford. Giannis chimed in. Fulham 1-0. Guy Rowe, 2-1, no clean sheets. I'm assuming he's meaning Fulham. Reg Hollis says 2-0 to the Bees. Alan Druitt, 2-2 draw. Carl FFC Gelder, 3-1 to Fulham. McCormack, 2. Kearney with the other. Simon Rugg is predicting 2-2. Can't see us winning this one. 3-1 to Brentford, unfortunately, John Mason said. Gary Martin says 2-2. Cali, 2-0 to Fulham. Gary Cooper, 2-1 Brentford, I'm afraid to say, Russ. Okay, no, it's okay, Gary. Stephen O'Keefe, 2-1 to Fulham. Simon Haneed, 2-2. Mark Hill, 1-0 to Fulham. Chris Davidson, Fulham unbeaten and top of the league table for London Derbies. Can't see this changing. 1-1. And Colm Bugler, not sure of the score, but I'm fairly certain both teams will score. I agree with Colm there. All right, David, it's time for your prediction. Let's do it.
Well, I'm getting the midday train tomorrow, so it's going to be high noon again, and so I'm with Gary Cooper. I think 2-1 to Brentford, I'm afraid.
2-1 to Brentford. David, I have two matches to go. I have to win both. I am going 3-1 to Fulham.
I'd be happy with a draw to a point, because that means we haven't lost, and you have, so...
You're unbelievable.
Sorry, Russ. I'm really sorry. But I'll be back on Sunday with Anthea's book if you want me to, and we can talk about
it
then.
Yes. I want to do Anthea's book all the time. I love that. We can add that in. I actually really liked it. That was fun. But my prediction is 3-1, and I'm going with a hat trick from Moussa Dembele. And that means Ross McCormack will probably score a hat trick. You don't
right, yeah. Yeah.
You see, I'm using reverse psychology here, David.
Well, the reverse psychology is you're saying we're going to win and we're going to lose probably then.
No. I'm saying that McCormack will end up scoring the hat trick, and I put it on Moussa Dembele so McCormack would score the hat trick.
I'm confused. Okay.
That's okay. I'm confused every day too, David. All right, we only have... a little time left. Any final thoughts, my friend, before we go?
Yeah, before I start doing mathematics, make sure I've got my calculator next to me, because my brain isn't as good as it was when I was 16.
Okay, and I certainly understand that. My final thought, it's just a huge thank you to the Fulham supporters, because, David, people are listening to Cottage Talk in huge numbers. I can't thank them enough. I can't thank all my co-hosts. This has been another disappointing season, and the numbers for Cottage Talk haven't been, you know, again, I shouldn't say haven't been, they've been extremely high, and probably the highest they've ever been. That's what I was trying to say, but I did another Goldman, David. This is probably the highest they've ever been for the amount of shows that we do. So thank you, everyone, and here's my promise to you, is that even though we are going to end the season short, we're going to have, you know, shortly I meant, we're going to have many, many shows, many special shows. So the season ends and we go into overdrive. David and I, Mike and Emilio and all the co-hosts, we're going to have plenty of shows for you. So we're not going anywhere. Just keep that in mind. We're going to have many shows for everyone. All right, my friend, it's time to end the show. For David Holly, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, David.
Good night, Russ, and
good night, David.
G'day to my friends in Australia. Good night.